The sugya here in Sanhedrin Chaf Amid Beis, in the name of Rabbi Yossi, not only defines the three mitzvot that we're obligated when we enter into the land, but also sets up a sequence. And those three mitzvot are Melech, Amalek, and Beis HaMikdash. And the sequence, the Brisa records that Rabbi Yossi himself asked himself a rhetorical question, so to speak. I don't know which one comes first. Is it destroying Amalek or is it building the Beis HaMikdash? And he tips the scale in favor of Amalek first and then Beis HaMikdash, based on the pasuk in Parshas Re'eh. It says Ve'iniach lachem mikol ayvechem misaviv, and then it says Vayamakom asher yivchar Hashem. So that's all in Daf Chaf Amid Beis. And the impression you get is that first we have to fulfill the mitzvah of Amalek, and only then, after that mitzvah is fulfilled, is the mitzvah of building the Beis HaMikdash applicable, activated. Now the problem is that we know that this is not really so, because Shlomo HaMelech built the Beis HaMikdash, and apparently the ground was ripe. David HaMelech did not exactly destroy Amalek, he only destroyed the male members, not the female members. And furthermore, we had a second question, if you remember. This pasuk doesn't single out Amalek. How could Rabbi Yossi use this verse as a source for first fulfill the mitzvah of Amalek, and only then are you obligated to build the Beis HaMikdash, when the verse is talking about Mikol Ayvecha Misaviv? And we spent a lot of time proving that over and over again, even in the parasha of the mitzvah of Amalek, it says Mikol Ayvecha, it's referring to other enemies, other adversaries, not Amalek. So the final conclusion of our discussion yesterday, and it really puts the Gemara in a whole different light, reinterprets the Gemara, is in the paragraph that starts Ulefi, which I want to again reiterate, or shall I say highlight and summarize as we did last week. And that's on page Shin Dalet, if you'll see it there. In this case, actually, there's only one paragraph that starts with the word Ulefi. Usually I say Vehine, and you'll tell me there are five different Vehines. And he says the following, that the Gemara doesn't mean that the mitzvah of Amalek has to be fulfilled before we build the Beis HaMikdash. David, in fact, did not fulfill the mitzvah of Mechias Amalek. But rather, the Gemara wants to set up a historical, we call it a timeline, that the mitzvah of building the Beis HaMikdash could not be fulfilled before we approach that time period of Amalek. What is that time period of Amalek? So based on Rambams and other sources, a Sifri and a Rashi, we came to the conclusion that when Klal Yisrael crossed the Jordan River, we entered into a period called Yerusha V'Yeshiva, 7 years of conquering the land and then 7 years of settling therein. That's the 14-year period of Kibush and Yeshiva. All the mitzvahs that depend upon Eretz Yisrael, for example, all the agricultural mitzvahs, only apply after V'avartem Esayardein V'yeshavtem Ba, which is a reference to these 7 years of Kibush, followed by 7 years of Chiluk. Then, after that, we're ready for period number two. Period number two is going to be the destruction of our enemies, and after we destroy our enemies, then the Torah says that we're obligated to destroy Amalek. So Amalek is like the last of our enemies. In the case of the mitzvah of Beis HaMikdash, what we need is to destroy all our enemies. We don't have to destroy Amalek in the sense of fulfilling the mitzvah of Amalek, but we have to neutralize Amalek as an adversary, as a military opponent. Why? Because the Torah says, with regard to the building of the Beis HaMikdash, V'hoya V'niach lachem Mikol Ayvechem Misaviv V'hoya Amokom Asher Yivchar Hashem Elokeinu Shechem. So what it means by Kol Ayvechem Misaviv, it means all those adversaries that present themselves as a military challenge to the people of Israel. We can't live in a Betach situation, in a secure situation, because these adversaries threaten to destroy us. And that's what Rabbi Yossi wants to derive from this pasuk, that until we destroy Amalek, we are not ready to activate the mitzvah of building the Beis HaMikdash, because it's not Hiniach Lechem Hashem Lekech Mikol Eivecha Misaviv. Now again, David HaMelech did not fulfill the mitzvah of Amalek because he left whom? The women folk, the lady folk alive. And that's not the mitzvah of Amalek. So Shaul messed up, and David, in a sense, messed up. Again, we'll blame it on Yoav's Rebbe, if you remember the whole story there. But bottom line is, he didn't fulfill the mitzvah, but yet the mitzvah of building the Beis HaMikdash would be fulfilled mostly by Shlomo, but partially by David, was activated because it's now a fulfillment of the requirement of V'yiniach lachem mikol eivecha misaviv. Amalek is no longer a military prowess that threatens the Jewish people on a military basis. We've wiped out their armies and the male members of Amalek. So for example, if you take a look at the first part of this paragraph, again, we're not going to read the whole paragraph because we've done that already. I want to start with the smag, which is on the bottom of this page. That's going to be the new edition for today. He says that the Gemara didn't have in mind that we have to fulfill the mitzvah of destroying Amalek and then we are obligated in building the Beis HaMikdash, but rather Gemara's intention here, Rabbi Yossi in the Braisa, on Chaf Amid Beis, is that the mitzvah of building the Beis HaMikdash has to wait until we are, number one, we've conquered the land of Israel. And that already was fulfilled at the beginning of the period of time when Yoshua with his mighty armies, you know, crossed the Jordan. Number two, we've destroyed other enemies, and now we're ready for number three, David HaMelech, to destroy Amalek. But it doesn't mean that we fulfilled the mitzvah of destroying Amalek. What we did is we neutralized the power of Amalek to destroy us. So we sit in a state of Hiniach Lachem Mikol Eivecha. So again, it's not the Seder HaMitzvahs that first this mitzvah has to happen and you have to fulfill Amalek. And only when you check off the mitzvah of Amalek, then you go on to the next mitzvah, which is the building of the Beis HaMikdash. But rather, historically, we can only activate and be obligated in the mitzvah of building the Beis HaMikdash after we've fulfilled the mitzvah. Sorry, I fell into the trap. Only after we've destroyed Amalek as a viable enemy that threatens our boundaries, but we haven't yet technically fulfilled the mitzvah of building the Beis of destroying Amalek. So David HaMelech becomes obligated in the mitzvah of building the Beis HaMikdash simply because he neutralized the force of our enemies, meaning he defeated the male members of Amalek. So far, so good. Now, if you ask me about Minui Melech, the Rambam clearly indicates that Minui Melech has to come before both the destruction of Amalek and the building of the Beis HaMikdash. So the destruction of Amalek in the case of David HaMelech, and the building of the Beis HaMikdash later in the case of Shlomo HaMelech. But first we have to have a Melech. And why is that? So we had a whole long discussion based on the Rambam, that the Rambam holds that the mitzvah of destroying Amalek and the mitzvah of building the Beis HaMikdash is not incumbent upon you and me and this ordinary citizen, this individual, this yachid, and this yachid, but rather on the Melech. The Melech is the one who shoulders the responsibility and the obligation to, number one, destroy Amalek, and number two, to build the Beis HaMikdash. But once again, the Rambam is not saying that there's a say there to the actual Kiyum HaMitzvahs. The Rambam is only saying it doesn't make sense to talk about the obligation of Amalek and Mikdash before you have the Melech, because if there's no Melech, there's no obligation. We had a long discussion, which I don't want to repeat, about Sefer Shoftim, that it seems that HaKadosh Baruch Hu had a taina against Klal Yisrael for not building the Beis HaMikdash at the time of the Shoftim, and we tried to reconcile that with the Rambam, because the Rambam says it's the Melech who's obligated to build the Beis HaMikdash, but there's no Melech at the time of the Shoftim. And we had a whole long discussion, for those who might remember, that there are two parts to the mitzvah of building the Beis HaMikdash. There's one part which is the urgency of finding a permanent settlement for the Shekhinah, and then there's the actual technical mitzvah, the actual technical obligation, and the chiyuv of this mitzvah is suspended until we appoint a king. But the urgency of setting up a permanent home for the Shechina, that's something that, although it's not together Chiyuv HaMitzvah, but it's a Kiyum HaMitzvah, and that has to be fulfilled urgently if the Beis HaMikdash is, and the Shechina is flopping around, if you remember, from one tent to the other. That was the situation at the time of the Shoftim. The end of this paragraph is an overall summary of everything that we've said. And that is that what Rabbi Yossi wants to derive from the pasuk, this is about 10 lines up from the end of the paragraph, V'iniach lachem mikol oyveichem, it means that first you have to destroy Zeresh al-Amalek as a military threat to the security of the people of Israel, to the nation of Israel. But Kevon Shabitzvah Shalachrosa Zeresh Shalamolik Chal. At what point are you going to get involved in this mitzvah, even if you don't fulfill it? It's only after number one, the 7 years of Kibush and Chiluk. So we've neutralized those enemies that are within the boundaries of Eretz Yisrael, the seven Palestinian nations that occupy the land. Then we've gone on to neutralize other forces and other adversaries. Then we started the process of fulfilling the mitzvah across Asazar Shalmuk. We haven't fulfilled that completely, but we've already neutralized our adversaries, our threat. Hence, the mitzvah of Binyan Beis HaMechir is now Chal, because it's Hiniach Lachem Hashem Elokech Mikol Eveichem. In other words, that even if we haven't yet fulfilled the mitzvah of Mechias HaMalek, but nevertheless we're obligated the mitzvah of building the bias, because we don't need the Kiyum HaMitzvah, this is four lines up before the end of the paragraph, of Mechias HaMalek befall, in actuality, you can't check it off, but yet we've gotten to the point in history where Hiniach Hashem Elokeichem Mikol Eveichem Misaviv, then the mitzvah of building the Beis HaMikdash is Chal. David HaMelech, of course, wants to fulfill that mitzvah. He does stage one, if you remember, and he sets up a Beis HaMechira. Again, I'm just reviewing some of the highlights of what we discussed until this point. And now Shlomo HaMelech is going to clinch the mitzvah by building the four walls of the Beis HaMikdash itself, what's called the Kedusha HaMechitzos. And we're really in good shape. Now, what we haven't yet discussed, and this is what I want to add to our discussion, is the smag, the Sefer Mitzvos Gedolos. And he seems to indicate that the time for the mitzvah the emergence of the mitzvah of Binyan Beis HaMikdash coincides with that period of time of David HaMelech. And it would seem from the words of the Smag, maybe we'll have a chance to read through some of his writings, that fundamentally the mitzvah of building the Beis HaMikdash is after the mitzvah of Hachrosas Zera Amalek. And that mitzvah of Hachrosas Zera Amalek depends upon, number one, Kibush and Chiluk, and then destroying the male members of Klal Yisrael. The mitzvah of building the Beis HaMikdash depends, on the other hand, on B'niach Lachem Mikol Eveichem Misaviv. So it comes out that the Smag is adding another dimension or a different perspective, a slightly different perspective to everything that we've been saying. Because according to the Smag, what happens is the people of Israel cross the Jordan River, they enter into the land of Israel. They're obligated in three mitzvahs. Number one, Melech. Number two, Ma'amolek. And number three, Beis HaMechira. But the Smag goes out of his way to point out that the third mitzvah depends upon the fulfillment of the condition of Hiniach Lahem Mikol Eveichem Misaviv. That now we're in a state of security and we can build the Beis HaMikdash. And therefore, he quotes the pasuk, which this you'll see on the top of your next page, which is Shin Hei. V'avartem es hayardim v'yashavtem ba'aretz. And then the pasuk says, V'hayo ha'mokom asher yivchar Hashem Elokeichem l'shaken shmo shom. And the Smag says that we've already counted earlier, because this one is mitzvah say kuf samach gimel, which is the mitzvah of building the Beis HaMikdash. He already alludes to, or shall I say, he cross-references you to earlier mitzvahs that he counted, namely the mitzvah of appointing a melech and the mitzvah of destroying a molech. And then he goes on to say that now that we've established that the time for the mitzvah of building the Beis HaMikdash is v'yishavtem ba'aretz, therefore, he says, we haven't yet reached that moment of time until David HaMelech. Why? Because David HaMelech was the one who became obligated in the mitzvah of building the Beis HaMikdash. So what do we see in the Smag that we didn't see until this point? The time for the period of the Beis HaMikdash and that mitzvah is dependent upon David HaMelech. It would seem from the Smag that we've already fulfilled the mitzvah, number one, of meeting Melech. Number two, we've already fulfilled the mitzvah of Hachrosas Zerah Shel HaMelech. And after fulfilling these two mitzvahs, then we are obligated in the mitzvah of building the Beis HaMikdash, except that the Smag has another condition, and that is that it has to be Hiniach Lachem Hashem Elokeichem, and we have to reach this state of security. So in a footnote, we have to add that according to the Smag, we're not exactly sure why Shlomo Melch is obligated in the mitzvah of building the Beis HaMikdash if the mitzvah of Hachros HaZara Shel HaMelech has not yet been completely fulfilled. He wants to add the Ramban into the picture. The Ramban in his commentary on the mitzvah of HaMolech, which is at the end of Parashas B'Shalach, seems to also indicate that the mitzvah of Mechias HaMolech does not depend upon just Kibush Mechiluk, meaning the first 14 years, but rather we need what the Ramban calls Nochalim Es Eretz Yisrael. What does it mean? Linchol Es Ha'aretz. And the Ramban identifies Linchol Es Ha'aretz with Biniach Hashem Elokecha Lecha, that God has relieved us of all the pressures and all the dangers that are presented by our enemies. So again, on the one hand, Yoshua conquers the land, but on the other hand, we still have many enemies to deal with. And at what point in time can we say that we fulfilled Linchol Es Ha'aretz? And according to the Ramban's presentation, and you can read the Ramban inside, this goes on until Shaul HaMelech. Shaul HaMelech is going to destroy Amalek, not all of Amalek, but most of Amalek, and that's called the Sof, that's the end, the clincher of Linchol Es Ha'aretz. In other words, since the Torah says in the parasha of Mechias HaMolech, V'hoya b'niach Hashem l'kecha l'cho b'kol eivecha, it means at that point we have fulfilled that ultimate, goal or condition of Linchol Es Ha'aretz, and at that point we are ready to move on to the next mitzvah, which is the mitzvah of building the Beis HaMikdash. We're left with the following question, and this is at the end of the paragraph. I'm afraid to say the word Vehine, so we'll call it Vehine Aramban, where he writes, L'dvar of Tikshe, Me'efa ochiach ha'gmor de mitzvah binyan beis ha'mechil li'achar mitzvah achros ha'zor shal ha'molek. Well, in effect, what we have here in the Torah is a condition called Be'niach Hashem elokecha l'cha misaviv mikol eivecha. It doesn't say that we have other conditions here. And according to the Ramban, we first have to get rid of the nations that occupy the land. That's called Kibush and Chiluk. Then we have to get rid of Amalek. I mean, it's a little bit of a stretch, but we're going to have to fit that all in to the Ramban's understanding of Hiniach Lachem Hashem Elokeichem Misaviv. The Ramban doesn't really clarify that. He seems to indicate that the mitzvah of building the Beis HaMikdash depends upon Linchol Es Ha'aretz, with the emphasis perhaps on the mitzvah of Kibush Eretz Yisrael, the mitzvah of destroying Amalek. But in truth, Linchol Es Ha'aretz has to be interpreted in a broader sense, which Ramban didn't exactly spell out for us, of getting rid of all our enemies. Now, you may recall that we discussed a paragraph in the Haggadah that ends Magid, and that starts with the word Lefichach, and amongst the various praises that we express to God on this night of Yetzias Mitzrayim is Hotzionu b'Avdus L'Cherus, u'b'Shibud L'Geula. What's the difference between the two? Is it just a poetic repetition of the same idea of Cheres of freedom and Geul of redemption, just different words that mean the same? So he quotes the Gaon, the Vilna Gaon, who separates and distinguishes between Avdus L'Cheres on the one hand and Shimon L'Gula on the other hand. And he says the following: according to the Gaon, the fulfillment of Avdus L'Cheres takes place already early in Jewish history, when we get to the period of Shoftim, and the period of what we call Shimon L'Gula, that already happens later on. That has to be postponed, so to speak, until the time of David and Shlomo. What happens at the time of David and Shlomo that makes it the Shimon L'Gula? What's the concept of Geula? So the Gaon identifies the Geula as Yeshiva Levetach, which means that we're finally secure and we've neutralized all our threatening enemies. And that takes place at the time of David, and finally at the time of Shlomo. So David destroys Amalek, and Shlomo has the tremendous military power of his mighty force, and we are at that point sitting pretty in the land of Israel, Yoshev Levetach. That's called Geula. So Cheres means when there's no longer a nation that's subjugating us. But Geula means when there's no longer a nation that threatens us in a military campaign. Fine. Okay. Now we're ready for the second chiddush of the Smag. Until now we've been looking at the Smag in Mitzvah Aseh, and he codifies the mitzvah of building the Beis HaMikdash. And he says that mitzvah is only fulfilled after we fulfill the first two mitzvahs that he's already counted of Melech and Amalek. Now we get to Los Ases. So what I want you to look at now is page Shinhei on the left column, the last of the paragraphs, which starts with Vihine. Now this quote of the Smag is meant to throw us for a loop. The Smag writes that the mitzvah of destroying Amalek doesn't apply except at the time of Mashiach. Why? Because since the condition is Vayabi Niach Hashem Elokecha L'chol Mikol Eivecha Misaviv, then the Torah says Timcha Es Zecher Amalek, and that's going to be in Parshas, correct me if I'm wrong, in Parshas Kitetze. Therefore, we have to wait for Mashiach until Melech HaMashiach is going to destroy all our enemies. So the Radbaz, who lived after the Smag, he says, I don't understand. Shaul HaMelech was already commanded to destroy Amalek. And Shmuel gave him that command. He woke him up and he said, hey buddy, it's a time to destroy Amalek. This is before the Melech HaMashiach. How could it be possible that according to the Smag, we have to wait for Mashiach for the mitzvah of Amalek to apply, when in fact Shaul was obligated to destroy Amalek and the Mashiach hadn't yet come? And the Radbaz ends up with the word Tiuvta. Tiuvta means I have no answer. There's no protection here for the Smag. So the Gvuras Yitzchak quotes his Rebbe. You know, whenever I see this Morenu for Rabbeinu Hagrid Salvechik, I think he's being my Rebbe, but it's the same name, but it's the first cousin. And that's known in the yeshiva world as Rabberl Salvechik. I don't know if you ever heard of him. He was the Brisker of son, and he was my Rebbe's first cousin because my Rebbe's father and his father were brothers. So he says the following. This is a whole new approach to understand the smag. He says, there's no question that on the one hand we have a mitzvah of destroying Amalek that precedes the coming, the arrival of the Mashiach. But on the other hand, the Torah says explicitly that we're only obligated to destroy Amalek when we are free from all our enemies. And the Smag is right, you know, we'll never be free from all our enemies. We always have enemies. Today all you have to do is open up the daily newspaper. So we have to wait for Mashiach for that. So how do we reconcile that? On the one hand, we have the mitzvah of Amalek over and over again throughout Jewish history, and the case in point would be Shaul. And yet on the other hand, we have the condition that we have to get to the point where we're free from all our enemies. Then we attack Amalek. Says Rebbe, we have to reinterpret the Smag. What the Smag meant to say was that there's a condition in the midst of Amalek that applies throughout history. And, for example, at the time of Shaul, that condition was fulfilled. All the enemy nations that threatened Israel were destroyed. Now Shaul is obligated in the midst of destroying Amalek. But the Smag wants to point out that that precondition, that we have to be free from all our enemies, is an ongoing condition. Do you follow? Any time, any moment in history, if you want to pinpoint a moment in history and ask yourself, is there a mitzvah of Amalek? The answer is, well, are we free from all our enemies? So at the time of Shaul HaMelech, the answer was yes. But if you ask me today, in contemporary life, the answer is no. We have to therefore wait for Mashiach. He gives an example, a sort of parallel. He says, let's say, for example, the mitzvah of Truma or Maaser or other mitzvahs that are agricultural. The Torah says that it's got to be after Yerusha V'Yeshiva. That condition is built into the mitzvah. So for example, if we get to the point in time where there's no longer Yerusha V'Yeshiva, then there's no longer a mitzvah of Trumas and Maaseros. Even though we've already passed the original mitzvah of Trumas and Maaseros following the 14 years of Kibush Mishkiluk of Yoshua. Why? Because the Tanai, this condition of Yerusha V'Yeshiva, is built in to the mitzvah Hatluya Ba'aret. So to the Tanai, the condition of V'hoya b'niach Hashem l'kecha b'kol ha'vecha b'savim is built in to the mitzvah of Mechias Amalek. So once we go into Golas, for example, the mitzvah of Mechias Amalek is completely undermined because we can no longer destroy our enemies and feel secure and free. We're out there in Golas facing all our adversaries. We don't have the security of being in Eretz Yisrael. So therefore, we don't have the mitzvah of Amalek. And at what point are we going to have the mitzvah of Amalek? When Mashiach comes. And now at this point, I'd like you to turn to the last paragraph in this particular essay, and that's on page Shinvav.
Mashiach is supposed to make it easier to point out the issue of Amalek for us.
That I don't know, but it'll certainly make it easier for us to focus all our energies on the destruction of Amalek. We no longer have to be bothered by any of our other enemies. Could you imagine, Rabosai? We have the state of Israel today, right? So how many enemies do we have? Let's say, in my humble opinion, you could disagree with me, our arch enemy is Iran. I mean, they are openly out to destroy the state of Israel. And they said it a million and one times, it's about time we took them seriously. Correct? So you can't say to me, well, you know what? Let's gather our armies together and let's attack Amalek. I don't know who Amalek is, but let's say you can figure out who Amalek is. Right? It's not yet ready for that. That's what the Smag wants to say. If there was a point in Jewish history, you know, on the timeline, call it X, in which we were free to dedicate all our military prowess and energies to destroy Amalek, then El Chinami, the Smag, would certainly agree that we're obligated in the midst of Amalek. So that all the sources that indicate that Shaul was obligated in the midst of Amalek, that David contributed to the midst of Amalek, are not contradictory. You know, the Ranbaz got so excited that he wrote about this Smag Tiyuvta, that there's no way of salvaging the Smag. He's gone. He's history. We'll just leave him out because Shaul was obligated in the midst of Amalek before the Mashiach came. Comes along with Beryl and he says, you misunderstood the Smag. The Smag didn't mean to go that extreme. The Smag was just pointing out that at any point in Jewish history, if you want to ask, is there a mitzvah of Amalek? The answer is, well, first tell me it's B'niach L'chem Hashem L'kecha B'kolei V'echa B'saviv. That's an ongoing condition at any historical moment. So the mitzvah of Amalek could be activated at one point and then completely detonated and non-existent at another point. Because at every point in history, you have to define, you know, our relationship to our other enemies. Who's going to come along and set up a situation which we're free from all our enemies? Forget about Iran and all the other enemies that we have. That's going to be Melech HaMashiach. At that point, we're going to be obligated in the mitzvah of destroying Amalek. He adds another point here on the top of Shin Vav, and he says the following. We have already explained earlier on page Shin Hei that the mitzvah of destroying Amalek is not contingent upon just simply entering into the land, crossing the Jordan, entering into the land and destroying the seven nations that occupy the land and divvying up the land during the 7 years of Yeshiva, of Nachla. But rather, it depends upon that God has already protected us and neutralized all the enemies around us. That didn't happen, and it didn't reach its fruition until the time of Shaul. Comes along the Smog and he says, don't think that once we got to that point in history, right, in that timeline, that the mitzvah of Amalek applies, that Shaul reached that point where he was obligated because there was a fulfillment of that condition of Biniach, etc., that therefore the mitzvah of Amalek becomes an ongoing mitzvah from now, from Shaul HaMelech, and on. No. But rather, Kishagalu, this is on line 5, Paka HaMitzvah. Right, we should underline that. Can I borrow your pen again? If you haven't. Sorry. Kishagalu, Paka HaMitzvah. That's what the Smog wants to tell us. In other words, in exile, we don't have the possibility of fulfilling the mitzvah because that condition continues to apply. Now, at the end, the Gevurah Yitzchak wants to know whether or not the mitzvah of building the Beis HaMikdash would apply after we go into Golos. This already is Satmar Torah, if you know what I mean. I mean, the Satmar Rebbe was of the opinion, based on a Gemara at the end of Ksubis, that once we're in Golos, there's no longer a mitzvah of living in Eretz Yisrael, and certainly not of building the Beis HaMikdash. All that is gone. The Gevurah Yitzchak is vacillating back and forth. He thinks that once the button was pressed and we were obligated at the time of Shaul in the mitzvah of destroying Amalek, then we already have the mitzvah of building a Beis HaMikdash, which Shlomo HaMelech fulfilled. Once that Mikdash was destroyed, at the time of Ezra, we had another mitzvah, again, to replace the first Mikdash with the second. That was destroyed. Now we're left with the mitzvah of building the third Beis HaMikdash. Or should we say, no, it's not so. The building of the Beis HaMikdash depends upon those same conditions and have the same regulations that apply to HaKras HaSamolek. And therefore we don't build the Beis HaMikdash until Mashiach comes. Why? Because since we've established, according to the Smog, that the mitzvah of HaMolek is gone. And what undermines and removes the mitzvah base of Zera HaMolek that was obligatory at the time of Shaul? It's the fact that we went into Golus, and therefore we have to wait till Mashiach, in order for that condition of Mikolei Vecha Misaviv to be extant. So too, the building of the Beis HaMikdash, which is again a mitzvah that comes after destroying Amalek, has to wait until Mashiach, because it's Paka once we're out in Golos. But keep in mind, he's not sure about that. So I don't want to get into politics over here, but he does leave room open for the possibility that even today we're obligated in the mitzvah of Binyan Beis HaMikdash. And he's probably the last person on the face of the earth to advocate that we build the Beis HaMikdash at this point before the Mashiach comes. But I'm just telling you that on a conceptual Lubavitcher level, take a look at the last line. You might want to underline this. It's very dramatic. He says, "Shiny mitzvahs based on Migdash, binyan based on Migdash. The af li acher shegalu lo paka mitzvah," which means that today, in the year, what are we up to? Tavshin Pei, right? The mitzvah of building the base of Migdash is totally activated. Now, what I wanted to share with you, we don't have that much time, is a whole other approach to the Smog. Until now, we've been basing ourselves on the insight of Beryl, which he repeats here in this next essay at the beginning of the essay. But he goes on to offer an alternative understanding of the Smag. Again, let's just repeat. The Smag claims that the mitzvah of destroying Amalek doesn't apply until after who comes? Mashiach, right? Where are my Lubavitch and Hasidim? We want Mashiach now, right? So he explains that this Smag is against the whole parasha in Tanakh, right? Because the Torah says that Shmuel Anovi came to Shaul and he said, look, you know, you're free from all your enemies, now's the time to go out and fulfill the mitzvah of Amalek. And the Mashiach hasn't come yet. And he quotes the Radbaz again. The Radbaz, by the way, doesn't mention the Smag by name. Maybe he, you know, he wants to cover up on the honor of the Smag. But the Radbaz, right, who lived in Cairo about 5 centuries, he writes, Ra'isi mishakosav she'ein mitzvah zudo heges ad yimos ha-mashiach. And then he writes on that point, Uparsha Shmuel v'shol havitivta. You know, there's something called a kasha, and usually when you ask, you raise an objection against a friedika, you know, a kadmon, so you leave it with a kasha. But when you use the word tivta, tivta means upshlung. How do you say that in English? I don't know. Is there a word in English for tivta? You know, when you completely make mincemeat of someone? I don't know. Anyway, we'll look it up in the Theosarith. So he goes on to quote, you know, the Brisker of Son, Rav Beryl, and he says, no, the Smag never meant it, and what he said, Ad Yimos HaMashiach, means now that we're in Golos, and we don't have the condition fulfilled of Biniach, therefore we have to wait till Mashiach comes. He also quotes the Rambam here in his Pirush HaMishnayos on Seder Zroim, who writes, V'yitzavet tzivuyim v'yesar isurim v'dora she'eno min ha-Torah. Oh, this is phenomenal. Wow. This is, Rabosai, very exciting for me personally. The Rambam says that the power or the authority of a Navi is to add a mitzvah or an isur that's not in the Torah. Now, you and I know that's not true because a Navi has no authority to change the Torah or add a mitzvah to the Torah or add an isur to the Torah. So what is the Rambam saying? So I only dramatize it by stopping the Rambam in the middle of a sentence. But rather, what the Rambam wants to tell you is something called Horas Shah. Are you familiar with that concept? In other words, a Navi can tell you that at this particular moment, you can violate a certain Isur, or you're obligated to do a certain mitzvah. He's not adding, on a permanent basis, a new mitzvah to the Torah, or a new Isur to the Torah. That's, you know, that would be a Navi Sheker. We'd have to put such a Navi to death. We're talking about a Navi who has Horas Shah. He says, at this moment, God is asking you to do X. Now look at the examples that the Rambam gives for Horas Shah. Kigon, Sheyomar, the Navi tells us, he lachamu al ir plonis, initiate a military campaign of this particular sort. Okay, fine. It doesn't come in the midst of Mulchama. We're not destroying the 7 nations and conquering the land. So under what mitzvah does it come? Elav Tishbu, you have to listen to the Navi who came with a prophetic transmission of an obligation, which is Horas Shah. Oh, fine. Good. And then he says, and I'll give an example of a Navi who tells a king of Israel to go out to battle. And what's his example? Rabosa, your eyes should pop out here. I'm going to challenge you here. Do you begin to see how revolutionary this one line in the Rambam is? When Shaul is commanded by Shmuel to destroy Amalek, is that a Horas Shah of a Navi? That's right, there's a mitzvah d'oraisa, it's one of the Taryag, to destroy Amalek. L'chora divrei Rambam t'muim. Haloika mitzvah ben haTorah lilachim amalek. Why does the Rambam invoke this example of Shaul telling Shmuel, I have a prophetic vision that you have to go and fight a battle against Amalek? What do you mean a prophetic vision? And this is the Rambam's elucidation or illumination of Horas Shah. So this is not Horas Shah. This has nothing to do with the authority of a Navi. By the way, the one who has a lot of Torah on this is Rav Aaron Soloveitchik. But that's a whole different mahalach. Rav Aaron claims that we're only obligated in the midst of Amalek when Amalek manifests a certain kind of behavior pattern in which they want to just undermine the Jewish people. And he says we need a Navi to tell us that, to read the handwriting and understand where Amalek is, and therefore we're obligated in the midst of Amalek. So that's called the Nevuah of Shaul. But again, in the Rambam's frame of reference, it's very difficult to go with that approach, because the Rambam uses this as a prime example of Horash Shah. And if the Melech, if the Navi is only there to convince the Melech that the all the conditions are ripe and the hatred is there and so forth and so on, that now we have the mitzvah of Malik, that's not called Horash Shah. That's just clarifying the reality. In any event, Bal Karcha, Svir Leila Rambam, Kasma, the mitzvah zu lo noheges animos HaMashiach. Now, at the time of Shaul, there's no Mashiach. Hence, Shaul is not obligated in the mitzvah of Molech. Rak Shmuel Tzimelo B'Nevu, about Rosh Shoshi, Lachem Imoyen. Now, this comes not under the mitzvah of Molech, but under the mitzvah of Elov Tishmun, of listening to and complying with the command of the Navi. So Rabosai, you and I think, have been trained since our childhood to believe that Shaul messed up on the mitzvah of Molech. Technically, according to the Rambam, at least, that's not so. He didn't mess up on the mitzvah of Molech. The mitzvah of Molech depends, according to the Smag in the Rambam, on Moshiach. He messed up on the mitzvah of listening and complying with the command of God as it was transmitted through the Navi. However, he says that this shita, even if you, of the smag, that Amalek depends upon Mashiach, and even if you identify the Rambam with that shita, the smag, is very difficult. What are we going to do with our sugya in Sanhedrin Daf Chaf? The Gemara in Sanhedrin says that there are three mitzvahs that apply to Klal Yisro when they enter into the land. And the second of those three, the middle of the three, is to destroy Amalek. Well, wait a minute. We're entering into the land. We've appointed a king. Where's Mashiach? The Gemara quotes Rav Yossi the Braisa, who vacillates, how do I know which comes first, destroying Amalek or building the Beis HaMikdash? But nowhere does the Gemara even indicate some sort of a havamina, a fledgling of an idea that we need Mashiach. Adarama, the Rav Yossi the Braisa quotes the Pasuk, V'hayalachem mikol eivechem. And then you have to build the Beis HaMikdash, meaning that first you destroy Amalek, then you build the Beis HaMikdash. So if the mitzvah of destroying Amalek comes first, second comes the mitzvah of building the Beis HaMikdash, all this applies during the period of time of David and Shlomo, after they had destroyed Amalek. So we fulfilled mitzvah number two, now we're on to mitzvah number three. What do you mean mitzvah number two? According to the Smag, that mitzvah number two only applies when there's a Mashiach. Well, where's the Mashiach? The Tzarech Iyun, again, he doesn't use the word Tivta, but he says at the end of the paragraph, Tzarech Iyun al Asmag, Shekos Adain Mitzvah Zudo Heges Adimos HaMashiach. The Gemara says we enter into the land and we're obligated in mitzvahs A, B, and C. B is Amalek. And who becomes obligated in Amalek? Shaul, and then finally, David HaMelech. And then we're ready for mitzvah number three, number C, which is the mitzvah of building the Beis HaMikdash, which is going to be implemented by Shlomo HaMelech, because we've already destroyed Amalek. Well, what do you mean? We have fulfilled the mitzvah of Amalek? Where's the mitzvah of Amalek? Oh yeah, V'niach, Hashem Elokeich, we call Eivechem Yisamim. But what about Mashiach? Where is Melech HaMashiach? So we're really, really stuck with the smag, which would, again, maybe push us in the direction of a Beryl Soloveitchik that he said before, that the Smag never meant it. He just meant to say that there's an ongoing condition throughout Jewish history of V'niach. But Eilu Chinami, any time V'niach is fulfilled, like for example in the time of Shaul, the mitzvah of Amalek is activated. But this other Mahalik, which is bolstered by the Rambam and Pirush HaMishnayos, that we have to wait till Mashiach, and that Shaul HaMelech was not obligated in destroying in destroying Amalek. He messed up on the mitzvah of listening to the Navi. How is that going to be reconciled with the Gemara in Sanhedrin that there are three mitzvahs that we were obligated in when we entered into the land? And there's no mention of Mashiach whatsoever. And we'll just finish up with two very quick quotes. One is from the Rambam and the other is from the Sefer Achinuch. The Rambam writes in Hilchos Melachim, Perkei Halacha Dalet, that there's a mitzvah, first of all, to destroy the seven nations that occupy the land. Anyone who encounters one of these members of Girgashi, etc., etc., he doesn't kill him, he violates a law of Lo Sechayah Kol Neshama. Then the Rambam goes on in the same parak to tell us, V'chein, and likewise, we have a mitzvah to destroy Amalek. Now, the Rambam doesn't repeat what he said earlier, that if anyone encounters an Amalekian, he doesn't kill him, he violates an essay. So why did the Rambam omit that? The Rambam wants to say there's a fundamental difference between destroying Amalek and destroying the seven nations. That destroying the seven nations is an obligation that's incumbent upon every single individual. So if you encounter a Girgashi, you better put him to the sword. Lo Sechayah Kol Neshama. However, by contrast, in the case of Amalek, that's a mitzvah incumbent upon the tzibur, and it's not incumbent upon the individual. So if you happen to encounter an Amalekian, you don't kill him, you didn't violate anything, because this is only an obligation that emerges on the entire community. Now, the Sefer Achinuch is very complicated, because he has a Reisha and a Sefer. In the Reisha, he writes, Zos HaMitzvah, destroying Amalek, Tofresh Dalet, Mutelis Al HaTzibur. And that would reflect the Rambam Shita that we saw before in Perakei, that there's no obligation on an individual. But then, the Sefer Achinuch sort of backtracks, and he writes, Ube'emes, which I think are the last few words on your page. Am I right? Ube'emes ki gam al kol yochid. Do you have that? Yeah. All right, so I'll just read to you the next few lines, which I don't think you have. He says, Ve'gam al kol yochid b'Yisrael hascharim, every male member of Klal Yisrael, aleihem mutal achiv lahargo le'abdu bin ha'olam, that every single individual member of Klal Yisrael has to destroy every member of Amalek. If yesh koch b'yadam, right, I don't know if you should start off with your local Amaleki. I think I told you a story once about Rabbi Shabik and a chassid. Anyway, he says, B'chol bakum b'chol zman, im yimtza echad mizaram. Again, you have to identify him as an Amaleki, you have to kill him. So we see that the Sefer Achinuch, on the one hand, accepted the Rambam's view that the mitzvah of Amalek is incumbent on the tzibur as a tzibur, but on the other hand, he also writes that the yochid is also obligated in this mitzvah. It seems like there are two different dimensions to the mitzvah of Achias Amalek. One is a chovas tzibur, and that's what our Gemara is referring to, that there are three mitzvahs that we as a community are obligated once we enter into the land. And then in addition, there's another mitzvah, which is a chovas yochid, that anyone who has access, he encounters an Amaleki, he has to destroy it. So the Sefer Achinuch certainly went way, way beyond the Rambam in establishing a second mitzvah. Now, where did the Sefer Achinuch get this idea from, that every individual is obligated to kill an Amaleki? This is the story in Tanakh, you remember, about the death of Shaul HaMelech. That Shaul he fell on his sword, and then a Ben Ish Ger Amaleki comes and kills him. Shaul asks him to kill him, and he kills him. And later on, that person is put to death for killing the king. So that's not a Milchama against Amalek. It just happened to be that that was a battle against the Plishtim. Am I right? Maybe I got messed up here. Anyway, but it wasn't the battle against Amalek, and yet this individual who puts Shaul HaMelech to death is put to death by David HaMelech because he's an Amaleki. But that's not within the context of Milchama. There may be other sources in the Sifri, also the fact that Shaul killed Agag. We're not always sure that the mitzvah of Amalek is limited to Milcham. But in any event, if we identify the Smag with the Sheet of the Chinuch, again it's a big if, then it could be that the Smag is differentiating between two dimensions of the mitzvah of Mechias Amalek. When the Smag says that the mitzvah depends upon Mashiach, that's the individual mitzvah. As far as the mitzvah Milcham is concerned, for example, Shaul fighting the battle against Amalek, that mitzvah is incumbent upon the Tzibur at any time during Jewish history, as long as we are free from our enemies. But in the case of the individual, that mitzvah that obligates the individual to kill an Amaleki, that depends upon Mashiach. So we'll try to finish this up next week and move on to the new topic. So let me take this opportunity to thank everyone for coming and wish you a great day. I think we accomplished a great deal.